praise and sound. You are the army of God. There's a light shining forth. And I am brighter. Men ready for war. Men ready for war. Let the grand army victorious. For the last time, there is the light shining forth. There is the light around my time. It is the army of God. Be ready for war, the King that's victorious, and the great that moves mountains, his people shall stand. Amen. You know, when you go for war, they give you a check, you sign. All the men will sign. Amen. Have you signed the check? Have you signed on the line? Have you enlisted in the army? Amen. You know, I have a term, I call it high jump. You know, when the devil gives you high jump, you know that you have to jump higher to still go ahead. Amen. How many of us are ready for high jump? So, if you want to enlist in this army, you need to give God a blank check. You sign blank and give it. Amen. So, how many of us have signed on the blank check? You say, well, I sign it. God can fill in anything He wants. May the Lord help us. Amen. I remember, in fact, when we were singing that song, I remember in 1982, 83, in those, we used to talk about the army of God. Actually, do you remember? We used to talk about the army of God. The time has come. Amen. The army of light, you know, like Brother Sam was talking about. If you have light, you must shine it. I was going up the step. I saw something that MIS Fufu, they say Albert Einstein said that the darkness in the world is not really the problem. That the darkness in the world continues because good men stand by and do nothing. Amen. That's what the man said, though. It's not quoted in the Bible. But when you see darkness and good men just stand by, you are allowing the darkness to go on. Amen. So may the Lord allow us and strengthen us to shine. Amen. The army has already been prepared. So say, arise, shine, for thy light has come already. Amen. They told the man, go in this thy might. We have been prepared for this hour. So brethren, he says, a man who has been, he says, who is that man? He says, Ephraim. The men of Ephraim, though prepared for war, turn back in the day of battle. Is it not men of Ephraim? Okay, yeah, men of Ephraim, they are prepared for war. When the day of battle came, they turned back. May we not be like those men. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I remember in that scripture, it said, "Cause ye mirrors, because ye did not come to the help of the Lord in the day of trouble." Amen. The day of trouble is now, brethren, and there's a great search for men who will be of help. May you and I not disappoint God. Amen. Amen. I've had something on my heart, to show. Something's been ringing in my heart, and it's something that we shared maybe about 7 years ago. I don't know how long it was, but it's been coming strong and strong. It's also tied up with this Joshua chapter 1. And so I really pray by God's grace we'll be able to touch it. So that, like Isaac said, we need to have an understanding so that we can pray and make a response. So Father, we thank you for giving us again this opportunity to come to your table for this short period of time. And we pray, O God, that the entrance of your word will bring more light to us, O God. Amen. Let it shine in the dark areas. Let it enlighten our darkness. Let the eyes of our understanding be enlightened. Let this inner man be strengthened, O God. Lord, cause the nature of the inner man to overcome the nature of this outer man, O God. That the reality of that which beyond the natural may become real to us, O God. For it is time to put on the image and nature of the man from heaven, even of Christ. Lord, we receive grace to arise and go over this Jordan, even to the land that you give to us. For it is time to return to our possession. We come as a prodigal, say, Lord, we want to return every man to his possession. For we hear the trumpet of Jubilee blowing. And Lord, we agree it is time to arise and to go back to our Father's house, to our inheritance. For thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. We receive grace, O God, and apostleship unto obedience of the gospel in the name of Jesus. So write upon the tables of our hearts, Lord, let there be an erasing of the inscriptions upon our consciences. This law of sin and death and darkness that has been ingrained in us. Lord, you say you will put your law in the inward mind, and you will cause us to know you, that no man may say to his brother, know the Lord. Open our eyes to know you, O God, to perceive you, to our ears to hear the trumpets, our eyes to hear, to see the visions of God. Lord, might lay hold upon them. Lord, might embrace them. I might be partakers of you. Might taste and see that the Lord is good. We bless your name, O God. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. I want to go back again to Joshua 1. And I will deal with 5 items. I will try to be a bit orderly. The first one, Brother Yago dealt with extensively yesterday. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. So I think he dealt with it. So I'm not going to go back to it. But you need to note that we have now come to a threshold. The old has gone. We are entering into something new. Amen. And the word that is being spoken is that it is time to cross into the promised land. That is a clear word. If you bring that in the context of the tabernacle, and it's important that we bring it to the context of the tabernacle. Because Joshua, remember, Joshua, they said his reputation was that he did not depart from the tabernacle of the Lord. Is it not so? Is it not so, brethren? Joshua did not depart from the tabernacle. So, brethren, do not depart from the tabernacle. Amen. Amen. If you have departed from the word about the tabernacle division, please go back. Because if you want to be part of this Joshua company, you must be abiding in the tabernacle. You must be walking in it. It must be part of you. And by the way, we have brought books about the tabernacle. So if you don't know, if you don't have it, if you don't know, need to dry your eyes and write down your name. Then we will give you. Not just for yourself. If it's for yourself, bring it and read it again. Because you must walk in the tabernacle if you want to be part of this Joshua company that I'm breaking over. Amen. So it says, Moses, my servant, is dead. It is time to come into a new dispensation. Amen. So I will leave that as it is. To deal with. Now, the second one is that I'll be looking at Joshua. I've already mentioned some things about Joshua. That Joshua was one that abided in the tabernacle. He did not, okay, well, it's not just abiding in the tabernacle, but it was something much more than that. He was someone who dwelt in the presence of the Lord. Amen. It was his lifestyle. Alright, so in these days, we need to be a people that, in fact, a people of God's presence. That we dwell in God's presence. You will learn it. And, you know, these are days, and I believe God, you know, is giving us time. We will look at it. And if there are questions, we will look at it. Comments, you know. Let's rehearse it in all these ramifications. But we must be a people of God's presence. You know, and that is what Joshua showed. His life was the life of one who dwelt in God's presence. There was even another dimension of Joshua. But in that place, if you do, it says Moses' minister. Joshua was Moses' minister. Amen. He worked with Moses. And he learned. He didn't just Joshua and he began to. No, there was something. Amen. So he walked. Now, Moses, we may not necessarily look at the old Moses, but there's a new Moses. And that Moses is Christ. Isn't it not so? Moses was a type of Christ. Hebrews compared Moses and Christ. He said Moses was a servant. Amen. But Christ was a son in the house. Hallelujah. So Joshua ministered to Moses. So we must be a people that minister to the Lord. You know, the other day God was saying something to me, and I told my people, I said, I'm ashamed. How many of us can say we are in love with Jesus? Don't raise your hand, though. Raise it in your heart. Are you in love with Jesus? I said them, but I said, how can I say I'm in love with Jesus? That's part of it. So, we are coming to that place where we are called to a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Are you in love with Jesus Christ? Are you overwhelmed? Can you all the things, all the ways that you can take it? Are you in love? Do you have a personal relationship? Personal means you are talking with him. He talks with you. You are walking. You know, there is a covenant relationship. Okay, that's what he's saying, and that's what Joshua had with Moses. He was his minister. He stayed with him, ministered with him, learned the ropes. Amen. And the Bible says that we must follow the Lamb wherever he leads. How are we going to follow when we're not following him? You know, the other day we went somewhere and the place was so steep. You know, and the only way to pass is that everybody had to go one after the other. And I began to remember that scripture that said, I think somebody wrote a poem, you know, how at the darkest points of his life, he only saw one footprint. I said, Lord, how is it that you are forsaking me? He said, no, I didn't forsake you. That's when I was carrying you. Amen. He was carrying him. And sometimes we feel as though you know, the sun, you know, the sun is not there. But if you really look in, you will see. You know, so brethren, these are the times when we need a personal relationship with Jesus. I don't have to emphasize it. How many of us minister to God personally? You know, for those of us who are preachers, and you know, sometimes you see, it can become a professional thing. You preach all the time. When you read the Bible, you need to preach and all that. You know, but you say, God says something to me, and it was a shocker. I mean, I knew it, but it came to me in a new dimension. God said, you must overcome in two dimensions. So first, you must overcome as a son. Then you must be an unprofitable servant. There are two things. So an unprofitable servant means God has given you something to do. You do it without expecting anything. That's, you know, it's an overcoming. You must overcome. Amen. It's a very difficult place to be an unprofitable servant. That's, you're not, yes, you have no motive to profit from what God is giving you. It's a hard thing. Amen. Say amen now. Amen. Hallelujah. But before that, God says, you must overcome as a son. Hey, it hit me between the eyes. I said, now, wow. Amen. You know, to overcome as a son is a tall order. Because the son is going for sacrifice. It's a life of sacrifice. Amen. So, God requires me to be a son in the house. And it's all speaking of relationships. So, this is all the things that we get from Joshua. That he was one that ministered to Moses. And as he did that, God began to move him on. But rest had taught us when he spoke about the book of Ruth. Do you still remember the book of Ruth? He talked about gleaning, reaping, reaper, all those, the man of that he spoke. You know, so it shows the different stages. Sometimes we gloss over it. He said, oh, we are in time. But there's a place, there are stages. Amen. So we are equal before God. We are all brethren. But in the house, there are children. There is technon, little children. Amen. And there is stelios, mature people. Hallelujah. So we must never lose sight of that. And it's all part of overcoming, because there are measures. God gives you a measure as a son, gives you a measure as a little son, and gives you a measure as a matured one. The little son is milk. Amen. It's milk. You can't give him bones. So sometimes some of us need to apologize for giving you too much bones to chew when you may not be able to take it. Amen. But there is bone, and there is meat, and then there is milk. Amen. So take your own and go with it, and be faithful where God has placed you. Praise the Lord. The other thing about Joshua, which is very, very, very important now, is that when you read Joshua, he always told him, be strong and be of a good courage. He goes one to one through, be strong and of a good courage. Yeah, when they are telling you like that, it means that there is something that is ahead. So every time God says, be strong and of a good courage, strengthen yourself and lead these people. If there was no need, why would he be repeating it and repeating it? And brother, that's what God is saying to us. What is he saying? Be strong and be of a good courage. Amen. Hallelujah. And he told him, there shall no man be able to stand before you. You have to take that word and put it in your heart. Amen. And you have to put it in your circumstance. What is the man before you? Well, you know what I mean by man. Okay, so we know their spirits, their conditions, certain. And the rule says, if I'm in a situation, it means I can overcome it. Amen. Because God will not put you in a condition that is what? Bigger than you. Amen. So whatever you are in, then know that it's tailor-made. okay, somewhere I'm hearing somewhere, supposing the one I have made myself. If I have put myself in the condition, God did not allow me. Amen. What did he say? Even when you deny him, what will he do? He will not deny you. Hallelujah. Amen. And the Bible says that he knoweth our frame. And he knoweth that we are what? We are carnal people. We are dust. Carnal. We are carnal. You know what? You know carnal people? Carnal people means that he likes to roll on the floor. That's what Philistine means. The Philistines mean, that word means people who roll and wallow in the mud. And that's man. Okay, maybe that's not you. It's me. In my mind, carnality, picking this and picking that. Because they leave that. Arise. Get up. Amen. Joshua was crying. He said, get up, get up, get up. Go ahead. Go and fight. So this is a word of encouragement to anyone who feels weary. You feel that God is saying, be strong. Be of a good courage. Arise and go over this Jordan. Amen. Hallelujah. You need to get it. You need to hold it. And someone says that there are how many? Every day in the Bible, there is one, fear not. Every day, there is what? Fear not. And I didn't have time to get into it yesterday, but one of those things that God said he has given to us, he said the land of the Hittites. You know, where is it? Verse 4, you can see it there. Heth was the second son of Ham. Okay. He eventually became the first son, actually. You know, but his name means terror, fear. You know, and God says, I have given you fear to overcome. It's one of the things that pointed unto us to overcome fear. Amen. And the thing with fear, the secret with fear, is that you see the mind by the way God made it works in dimensions. Okay? If you notice, where your mind is now is not where it was yesterday when you came in. As you stay in the presence of God, the mind rises. Amen. The more your mind rises, the bolder you are. You understand? He said the righteous are what? As bold as a lion. When your mind goes away from the things of God, what happens? Okay, let's look at Peter. He saw the Lord. My God, he was ready to fly. Should I come? Go I. The devil said, no problem. I have a plan for you. He said, look, see the wave, see the wave. His mind flashed, bam. The next thing, he was inside the water. That is the nature of the mind. So what does the devil want? You always take your mind off God and you start looking at your situation and circumstances. Amen. For it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher. So when a situation comes to you, he sweeps you off. Anger, bitterness, fear, rent, payment, money, challenge, all those things. It's a wave that's come. If you look away from that wave and you look on the Lord, before long, you start riding the wave. That is the way it is. So that is the secret we have to learn. And God says, I've given it to you. Because when you begin to ride the wave, you get higher. So when the flood began to come in time of Noah, what was happening? They were climbing higher and higher. So where we are now is that we are in a place where darkness is getting stronger and stronger. So Ebola, you know, before it was HIV, now Ebola has landed. And this is a new strain of Ebola. Amen. Well, Bible says we shall not be afraid. Amen. Of the noisome person, of the arrow, all the things that are coming, no? Why are we not afraid? Because it says we are in him. And anyone that touches us is touching the apple of God's eyes. Amen. So our confidence is not because you are praying. Your confidence is that we are in Christ. Amen. And he that abideth in that secret place will not be moved. Whatever the enemy is bringing is not going to affect us. Okay, so this is an important element of crossing over Jordan. Of course, when you come to Jordan, you see the waves. And what is the law for crossing the Jordan, you must put your leg in it. How are you going to put your leg in Jordan when the thing is so boisterous? The only way is that you need courage. You must be courageous. And what are you stepping on? You are stepping on the word of God. So you don't want to take a step without hearing from God. You must cultivate the habit of getting a word. Don't engage in any situation, any object, any venture without a word. When God gives you the word, you stand on that word. Amen. And it will never fail, because it says, "Forever and ever, thy word is settled in heaven." So when he says walk by faith is not thinking. Walking by faith means you go to God. I have a situation. I say, God, give me a word for this my circumstance. And you open your mind. God will give you a word. Either someone will have a dream, or someone will read a scripture, or something. You see, and that's the thing about walking with God. If you have been like Joshua in the presence of the Lord, you will know how God speaks to you. So you can't wait for God, because you know he will surely come. Amen. He may not come in the storm or in the earthquake and fire. He may not come in the fire, but what will happen? He may be in a still, small voice. And when you hear that, you hold it. That's all you need. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So those are the principles. So you must hear the word of God. And when you hear it, you hold it. And you stand on it. And that is what is going to move you forward beneath where we are going to go. Praise God. Now, that brings us to another important principle about overcoming, about going over this Jordan. Now, if you look at verse 8 and 9, can you show it? 8 and 9. Good. Now that's the other important principle. The principle of the mind. Okay, I'm not going to go too deep into it, but I will just try to bring out certain major aspects. Now it says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth." So which mouth is this one now? How many people have eaten the word of God this morning? Did you eat the word of God in your mouth? So which mouth is he speaking about? So that's the key. "So this book of the law shall not open the part of thy mouth." So look at the mouth. "But thou shalt do what? Mouth therein day and night." So the mind is the mouth of the soul. Amen. Say amen now. I'm your brother. Is it not true? I'm sure you will agree with the scripture. "But thou shalt mouth therein." Okay, you say meditate therein. So the entrance into the soul is what? Is the mind. Now, the devil wants to block the mind by images, objects, offense, bitterness, disagreement. All those things, what you do is to block the mind. And when once the mind is blocked, what happens? There's no words, no life coming in. Amen. And darkness will reign supreme. Amen. So, if we want to overcome, we must make it a lifestyle. To do what? To meditate daring day and night. There's something I try to do. I'm not successful all the time, but I think I'm trying small, small. And I say, never leave your house without a scripture on your mind. Never. Try as much as possible every day. Have one scripture you are meditating on. You are thinking about it. You know, ruminating on it. Thinking about it. Always try. You know, and it can be an exercise. Daniel prays three times a day, isn't it so? Can you make it a habit to read the scripture three times a day? So that is something that will keep you. Those of us who are walking, you are busy. Try in the middle of your walk, stop. Say, yes, what is the scripture for today? See, what you are doing is to keep your mind always. You see, what that does is that your mind is always open to the Lord. And you'll be surprised what God will say to you. Maybe when you are carrying the water to go and pour somewhere, God gives you a word in that thing you are carrying. And that may be a word that may save your life. Amen. You'll be surprised the things that God will say to you at odd hours, odd times, if your mind is open. Okay? There was that good thing Brother Yago did for us. You know, brought this S-bass, you know, this thing that's always playing. Uh-huh. It's playing. The scripture is always playing in the house. You'll be surprised. You hear one phrase. And that may be the solution to all the problems you're looking for. Just one phrase. The Spirit of God quits on it. So however you want to do it, brethren, it is critical that we must find a way to always meditate therein, day and night. That was what, you see, that was the formula for Joshua. Okay? That thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. And then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And thou shalt have what? Good success. Amen. So the key to good success, the key to victory is what? Is to open the mind. Amen. Now, for those of us who want to go one step higher, all right? Go. So you now want to dig into the scripture. You want to see it. You know, you are not just interested in the milk, just the basic. You want to go deeper. Okay, we can take a trip. You go to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 44. Is it 44 or 43? 44. It says in the temple. By the way, Ezekiel's temple is the temple of the mind. It's the temple of the soul. It was never built. All those chambers are speaking about the little chambers in the soul. Amen. And this man had a vision of the soul. Because remember, Ezekiel chapter 8, he took him into the temple. Is it not so? He took him to the house of the Lord. That temple is the mind. And when he went into the temple, he saw images, different things. Women weeping for Tammuz, people worshipping the sun, the ancients bringing, all those things speaking about the temple. It's this house. Amen. And to even make it more illustrative, one man called Manasseh. Isn't also the Bible said that Manasseh brought all the images he could find everywhere, brought it into the holy place and the holiest of all. That is, you understand? So God is saying to you and I, inside your heart, inside your soul, your mind, what is going on? There are images. Amen. And Ezekiel had this vision. He saw the vision of the temple. And he said in this temple, that there is one gate. He said that gate is called the East Gate. And that gate is reserved for the prince. Amen. I say it is only for the prince to come in. Hallelujah. The East Gate is another word for the mind. Amen. So when God wants to come into the temple, he comes through the East Gate. Alright, so I will try. I don't think I have the. Did you get the marker? Okay, you didn't get the marker. But if you look at Numbers, the Bible gives us a picture of the tabernacle. Now, the entrance into the tabernacle in the time of Moses was through the east. Okay? And on this east was where he said Moses will dwell by the east. Amen. So when the sun rises, the sun rises from the east also. So the sun rises from the east. The entrance of the tabernacle is on the east. Amen. So it's very clear that the way God comes into the temple is from the east. So since we are the temple of God, the way God also comes into you will be through the east, which is the mind. Amen. And the Bible says that this gate should be dedicated for the prince. And that's what he was telling Joshua. And that is the word of God for us. If you want to overcome, we must overcome in the mind. Our mind must be dedicated. And I was sharing with the young people, and I think it's a word for us. Because me too, me and brother, you know the young people. I'm a young people. All right. 1 Timothy 4:12. What does it say? He says, let no man despise their youth. Huh? He says, these things that I have given to you, give yourself wholly unto them. When he says thyself, is it your leg? Huh? Is it your hand? It is the mind. Give your mind wholly to it. Continue in them. Amen. So, and I was asking them, I said, have you made the choice to give yourself wholly to the things of God, to the word of God, to meditating on the word of God, you know, searching out the things about the word of God, and, you know, give yourself to it. If I ask you now, what is testus receptus? Big grammar. Hey. Many of you are students, you know about it. Testus receptus is a big grammar. But it was a man like you and mine, and myself. He sat down. They had the Bible was in Hebrew. Nobody could read Hebrew. The young man, he was intelligent. He sat down. He said, okay, I will now translate the Bible into Latin. He sat down and began to translate. The Bible you are holding, that's where he translated. It's somebody's life. Amen. That is called overcoming. Alright? So he gave himself wholly to it. What have you given yourself wholly to? Because he said, when you do that, your profiting will appear unto all. We are wondering why our life doesn't have fruit. How will it have fruit? Well, let me say, a double-minded man is what? Unstable in all his ways. You know, so when you have not really made up your mind, am I going to follow the Lord? Am I ready? Or do I, then your life is not going to be profitable. There will be much fruit. But when you have decided, I will follow the Lord. This same God shall be my God until the very end. You sign the dotted line. Take it. Your profit will come out. Amen. When you see a man that is committed, so God is calling us to be a people that are dedicated. It's called consecration. That is the brazen labor, isn't it also? A place of a man who is completely given over to God. And in the tabernacle, you see those people. They are called cherubims. That's part of where I'm going to. They are called cherubims. The cherubims, they could mean different things, but I know it speaks of the nature of Christ. And one of the things about them is that they have a dedicated, consecrated life. They're only known for one thing. What is it? They are in the presence of God. They eat, drink, feed, their energy, everything you know is they are in the presence of God. Look at them. No shaking. They have a focused, they are beholding the glory of the Lord. Don't you understand? And that is the consecration that God is doing. That when my life will be dedicated and consecrated to walking with God. Amen. I'm not yet there, but brethren, the people can be there. And they call it. And that's what he was saying to them. He said, look, this one book of the law, it must not depart out of thy mouth. For in it thou will meditate day and night. If you look at Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that does not stand in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't walk. The next thing, he doesn't stand. The next one, he doesn't sit down. In other words, he's getting gradually established in darkness. Amen. Say amen now. Amen. Amen. You know, they say, but his delight is in the law. Do you understand that English language? Delight. That means my emotion can be satisfied by the word of God. There is something I want to say, but I don't know. it will come back later. Amen. You see, God is moving us on, brethren. You see, the devil has told us lies that I cannot be happy unless I watch television. I cannot be happy unless I watch this. It is not true. That is not true. The emotions, we are created by God. And it's only God that can satisfy the emotions. Hallelujah. You look at Isaiah 11. It says that the lion, you know what the lion is? The lion speaks of emotion. Are we together? The lion speaks of emotion. Say, the lion will do what? Will eat grass like the ox. Amen. Lion doesn't eat grass, so What does lion eat? Feast on carnality. He feasts on anger. When he's angry, he's happy. Bro, do you experience that? Don't experience it too. Amen. Yeah. Say, lion feeds on blood. Carnality. Humanity. But say, this lion, the nature has been changed. The appetite has been changed. What does he do? He's now feeding in the garden of God. That's what that grass means. He's feeding like the cherubims in the garden of God. Amen. His energy is from the presence of God, like Joshua. Hallelujah. So you can go on and on and on about Joshua. But the mind is critical, brethren. You know, a time will come, we will talk about the mind. We'll go a little bit deeper. You know, but it's critical. I can't overemphasize it. The whole thing begins and ends with the mind. Praise the Lord. Now, the other thing about Joshua is body ministry. Joshua was a new dimension. And there are a lot of the young people, I know, I feel it in the spirit. Because if you're wondering, how did I know? I know. I'm not saying that I'm spiritual, but I'm sure you too are like me. Amen. You can feel it. Not young people, a lot of us are still not very, very clear about some of these basic things. You see, and there's no sympathy. He told him, he says, where is it? Verse 2. Go over the Jordan, thou and what? And all these people. He didn't say all these people. He's specific. Hallelujah. Say amen now. Yeah, why are you so quiet? Say amen.
Amen.
What God is saying is that God is speaking about a body. Joshua speaks of a body of people. Amen. It's different from Moses. Moses was a man. He was there, one man. He alone went to the mountain. I did everything. But it says, Moses, my servant, is what? Dead. God is using a new generation of people. Amen. Joshua appointed captains. It was a plural leadership. Amen. And he was speaking about the body. Now, some people feel that it is everybody that is going to overcome. It's not true. There are some that will not overcome. There are some who have determined that they are not going to overcome. If you stick with them, you cut short your inheritance in God. Amen. The Bible says there is 30-fold. What's the other one? 60-fold. What's the other one? 100-fold. Hallelujah. And yesterday we talked about it. Reuben, speaks of sonship. Pentecost is halfway of sonship. Pentecost is good. Anointing, deliverance, miracles. The man said it yesterday. Huh? Miracles, it's from God. God heals. You know, you raise the dead. All that. It's God. But it's far short of sonship. And so, sonship speaks of the full thing. God is looking for a son, full measure. God is looking for a full, matured son. Amen. And 1 Corinthians says, we speak wisdom among them who are what? Matured. Hallelujah. The Bible talks about the fundamental doctrines of Christ. There are fundamental doctrines. Dependence on dead works, faith unto God. Amen. Say amen now. Amen. Resurrection, baptisms, eternal judgment. Those are fundamental issues. Even that one itself are still not very, very clear. But St. Paul says, we speak wisdom among them who are matured. Wisdom speaks about dimension, the things I'm telling you about the soul, about the mind. You know, say wisdom is the principal thing. Amen.
Amen.
Do you discuss wisdom with a little child? Eh? Robust. The children do not have wisdom. Anything you give them, go to the mouth. They don't have wisdom. Wisdom is for those who are matured, who are able to discriminate. Hallelujah. So you have to, you must understand, rightly divide the word of God. There are different grades, different levels in this, in what God is calling. And if we are going to overcome, then we must be part of this Reuben group. First fruits that are breaking forth. Amen. So you have to determine, where do you want to be? You might say, well, I'm just okay. I just want to just remain a bit. But Paul said, if for the time when you ought to be teachers, you are now, it's necessary to teach you the things that be the principles, right? We will do it. But know that when jungle matures, children will not be able to go forward though. Amen. And that's where we have come to now. We have come to the point where the mind must be sealed with wisdom. Wisdom is the jewel of the mind. Don't you understand? Amen. He says that, he says it will be a crown of glory. Where do you put a crown, Isaac? The crown you put on the head. Eh? Go to Proverbs. We don't even have time to go into Proverbs. So you put wisdom, he says it will be a crown. He says it shall bring you to honor. It shall prolong your life. It shall do so and so and so and so and so. Wisdom is strength. Wisdom is... He says the Lord possessed me from the beginning of his ways. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, I, wisdom, dwell with the Lord. So, if you are talking about moving forward, you must go with those who want to go all the way. Say amen. Hallelujah. If you want to choose a friend, you choose a man that wants to go all the way. If you want to go all the way. Amen. You cannot choose your brother. Brother Hubert told us. But you can choose your friends. Hallelujah. Eh? We are all brethren. But the person that is your worker, that is working with you, that is your companion, brother, you will choose that one. Amen. And when you are choosing, choose the man that wants to go all the way. Hallelujah. Because you choose the one that wants to go to... when you are going, you say, oh boy, wait, let us go that side. You will have problem. Oh. Amen. So, the Joshua represented a new dimension. So sometimes somebody feels, oh, but why are you being discriminatory? It's not being discriminatory. It's called rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. Giving each to every man what belongs to him. Amen. The Bible says in the body there are uncomely parts, and there are also parts in the body that are not comely. So you must know where each belongs and give it to them. Amen. Those people who are preaching all over the place, I cannot do their work. Don't you understand? I don't want to call names. I can't do their work. You can't do their work. They are doing the work of God. Praise God. Isn't that so? But when it comes to who I am going to run with, I will choose the highway. I will choose the very best. And I'm going to choose the way that leads where. Amen. That means when you want to marry, the man must be going that way. Don't marry a man, you will teach you how to go the way. Because along the road, you will try and say, I don't want to learn again. It's okay now. who did you marry? This man is going everywhere. There is that. The man has gone everywhere. Amen. I saw him answer, I said, bro, you are supposed to be in the moon. He said, no, the moon is in MIS. That's a man to marry. That's why this young girl now. She married. Amen. He said, the moon is in MIS. Let's go back to the moon there. Amen. That is choice. It's called consecration. It's called the cherubic life. Hallelujah. Choose well. Amen. It goes everywhere, not just marriage, in everything. You must choose. Yeah? Don't choose a man that always wants to go and play golf on Sunday. So by 1 o'clock, he's looking at his time, he wants to go and play golf. When Brassard is still waving hands, he said, look, who they close, this guy play golf. That kind of man cannot be afraid, though. If he's afraid, you're in trouble. Praise God. Okay. So let's move on. We talked about the third component of of possessing. We're looking at how to possess the promised land. That is what we're looking at. The Ten Components says, arise. Amen. Arise. This one, I'm not going to go into it because it will derail me. It will take us out. So we will dedicate a special time for arising, because there are dimensions, and it is basic. The dimensions are basic. We need to lay hold upon them. Not just lay hold, we walk in it. Amen. So we will deal with it maybe later on. But there is something, I'm going somewhere. There is something I want to deal with. Now, the fourth dimension of possessing this promised land is to cross Jordan. Amen. And that's where I want to just spend some time. You know, I've been doing introduction before, so now we want to say praise the Lord, brother. Say praise the Lord. Amen. Well, you want to stand up and wave your hand and sing a song? Brother, nice, wave your hand. Says praise the Lord is good all the time. The Lord is good all the time. It's not the message you started. The other one was just Marion. Was just to do Marion. Okay, but it should be long. Okay, so we're looking at Jordan. It's very important. Jordan is very important. It was very clear. What is this Jordan? So first of all, is what is Jordan? All right. Now, I tried to look at it briefly yesterday. Now, before you talk of Jordan, you must talk of the Red Sea. Amen. Because the Jordan is down there. You must, first of all, when you come out of Egypt, you come to the Red Sea, then you go to Jordan. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So, you must first of all be born again. Not just born again, according to the one, that you must cross Egypt. That is, you are no longer in Egypt. Amen. Before you can start talking about Jordan, because Jordan is for the promised land. You understand? So, if you are in this place, and in your mind, you have not really drawn the line, then you can go back to the Red Sea. Go and be a partaker of that experience. Remember, Moses said, we were all baptized unto Moses. They were baptized into Moses where? In the Red Sea. Amen. It was a covering. It was an initiation. Amen. It was an experience they had to go through. And if you are in this room, you have not gone there, you need to go there. The Red Sea deals with the world. There is too much baggage of the world that has followed us into the promised land. You know one of them? Dathan, Abiram. He said, let's go back to Egypt. That's part of the distraction in the wilderness. God is saying, go and cross. He said, no, let's go back to Egypt. Amen. Hallelujah. People should answer me now. Amen. It's a distraction. So you must settle the matter of the Red Sea, the matter of Egypt. Settle it once and for all. He says, Joshua says, for me and my house, what do we do? We will serve the Lord. I remember my brother, there's a time he always uses. You know, people don't know that I'm always recording all the things you use. Well, of course, if you know him, you will know that he will tell you, say, give yourself to God. You know what he said, brother? If you know him, he will tell you, give yourself to God. That is what God is saying. You say, God, I have given myself. My life, my all, my time, everything is for you. Hallelujah. That is a starting point. Because a man who has not given himself, when Boko Haram comes up, Ebola arises. Your marriage, 10 years, no children. The man said, let's go back to Egypt, let's go to the village. They will come and call you in the night and say, look, there is one, you say, damn, that woman there. When you go there, when she matches you, you will have a baby. Brother will start considering it. You see, we have to be wise here. We have to be wise here. The problem is that he has not crossed the Red Sea. Amen. You must cross the Red Sea. Make up your mind. If I perish, I perish. It's a commitment. And that gives you an energy to move forward. Amen. And you come to the Red Sea, yes, you come to Jordan, because Jordan is now a bigger dimension. And remember, when they got to Jordan, it was a time when Jordan was overflowing its banks. Iniquity was overspreading. That is right now. Eh? The guy was saying, can you imagine? Have you met an 18-year-old young girl in Nigeria before? Have you met an 18-year-old Nigerian girl? Jesus of Nazareth. She's filled with life. She lost life. For that one to go and carry a bomb, we call it suicide vest, blow herself up, something has happened. Something has happened. There's a change. Hallelujah. That is, Jordan is spreading. Darkness is spreading. It's not ordinary.
Oh, yes.
Amen. So, brethren, game has changed, though. It is not, 2013 is not 2014. We are right now inside hot soup. Amen. And that is why we must learn the principle of overcoming. So Jordan means, in the Hebrew, means descending. To descend. Amen. God says you must go in, you must overcome it. So how then do you overcome Jordan? What are the principles for overcoming Jordan? Now, one of the main principles is to realize that this Jordan speaks of the veil. It speaks of the veil. Now, in the tabernacle, the place where you find the veil is at the golden altar. It is a crossroad from going from the holy place into the holiest of all. And you know, when you say it, it's like somebody says, well, so what are you saying? What are you talking about? I will tell you what I'm talking about. You see, when you talk about the veil, you are speaking about the things that act as a barrier to the soul. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Something tells me I'm not going to stop like yesterday. I'm going to go on. Amen. I'm saying it to get us through because this is a sticking point. So I want to explain it very well. So now the scripture says in Hebrews 10:19 that Jesus Christ broke through the veil. And he said that veil was his flesh. So if you and I look around now, we can't see any River Jordan anywhere. Alright, so in other words, this Jordan is speaking about a spiritual reality. Alright? Good. So this spiritual reality is what we now want to get into. This body, it receives life from the soul. Amen. That is why I was asking you that question. A man shoots you gun. Why will your soul depart from your body? Why? Somebody, the body has been given to the soul as a house. Okay? For it to relate to the physical environment. But that's not all that the soul has. The soul also has a spirit. So that you can relate to the heavenly environment. So the soul, the way I look at it, is like a man standing in the middle. On the left side is a lower reality called body. On the right side is a spiritual reality called spirit. And let me tell you something. As you see the things you are seeing naturally, that is how real the spiritual world is. The Bible said that he that cometh to God must believe that he is God, if there is no God, why are you wasting time? Is there God? Is he existing? Are there people around him? Huh? There's a reality where there's a God, there are angels. He calls it Zion, innumerable coming of angels. The spirits of judgment made perfect. Brethren, it is a reality. It is a reality. It is a reality. When did you last hear from that realm? When did people there talk to you? When last did you hear something from there? There was something that came from that place and they brought it down to this our natural realm. Don't you understand? Amen. That is the thing about Jordan. That's what the Bible is calling Jordan. Amen. Being able to break through this barrier, this thing that is preventing me from being a partaker of Zion. Hallelujah. The Bible said that we have come to Mount, not that we will come. We are come to Mount Zion. Why then am I still cut off from Zion? Don't you understand? Why am I still not feeling the light of Zion? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Why am I not feeling the light of Zion? Hallelujah. Remember that to say for my heart has heard the song of saints on higher ground. Is it not so? Someone said. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Brethren, the time has come when this barrier is coming down. Hallelujah. The time has come for the strongholds to be broken down. Hallelujah. Okay, let me quote the scripture to you. It says, the Lord is that spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord, there is what? A breakthrough. Hallelujah. That we all, with our open face, behold him. Hallelujah. That we are changed. That means, change means we are gradually becoming more and more and more and more aware. Not just aware, we are becoming a partaker of the heavenly Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Amen. So when we come to fellowship, Zion is with us. Sometimes we begin to sing their songs. Hallelujah. They even join us in their songs. Don't you understand? Amen. Somebody say, no. Now that it's not Christian science. It's not Christian science. So I'm just preaching Hebrew school for you. Amen. Brethren, it says Zion is the city of the Most High God. It's beautiful for situation. It's a city. It's a dwelling place, brethren. Hallelujah. And that reality is what the devil does not want you to. You see, and when you are in this natural world, the body dominates. The body sees, looks, and it believes that it's only what I see that is real. But that's not what the Bible. The Bible says that the things which are seen are what? They are temporary. But the things which are not seen, what are they? They are more eternal, more permanent. Hallelujah. If they are more permanent, then we must speak to it. We must reach out to it. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And that is the last that says, very soon you will see angels ascending and descending. Hallelujah. And Jesus is that ladder. So when you are joined to the head, angels will start climbing up on you and coming down. Hallelujah. And as they come in, they are bringing messages. They are bringing things down to us. Hallelujah. So we are speaking about Jordan crossing over to the promised land, because that's the only thing keeping us from the promised land. And yesterday we even said, even before you cross Jordan, there is a part of the promised land you start to enjoy. Amen. So God is trying to whet our appetite. He still say we shall. No, we shall. Now, we already, he says, the tribe of Reuben, the tribe of Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh, on this side Jordan, they entered the promised land as a foretaste. Hallelujah. There are some of us who have entered heaven already. There are things you have overcome. Amen. In some parts of your life, you see heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. But it's only an appetizer to enter. Really. Amen. Now, what are the things that are keeping us out? I'll tell you. The basic one is Genesis 3:24. He said, let's drive the man. God drove the man. He said, let's drive the man away. Lest he put forth his hand and do what? You read it very well. I will read it for you. Lest he does what? So it means that even in his fallen state, Adam could have taken the tree of life. Is that your Bible, brother? Even in his fallen state, Adam could have reached the tree of life. God said, no, get up, quick, quick. Drive the man. He put him out of the garden. Hallelujah. But brethren, I want to declare, we are going back. Hallelujah. That is the judgment he's saying. Well, man is going back. We are going back. So today, as you hear this word, you need to decide in your heart, do you want to go back? And the Bible says that there was a time in Israel, after 49 years, some people have forgotten who their father was. They are so rooted in the house of their master. Their master has given their wife, given them children, given them. They have benefited, prospered in the midst of slavery. And the trumpet of Jubilee begins to say, oh yeah, go back to your father's house. I say, no. Yeah, I have been in my master's house. Why do you want me to go back? That is the problem I have. I have gotten so accustomed to my soul getting life and energy from my emotions and my desire from the earth that I have forgotten who I am. Hallelujah. The Bible says that God poured himself into Adam. It was an experiment. Are you following what I'm saying, telling you? God poured himself into Adam. Why? Why? He said God breathed. If you look really well, he said he poured himself into Adam. Everything the soul has is from God. See, the Lord saw, the Lord heard, the Lord touched. What is he telling you? That is the whole, the soul, everything you see naturally is well established within the realm of your soul. Amen. But it's about to say that when man was born, the whole thing was dead, blind, covered. So the man comes into the world, he doesn't know who he is. He say, I'm from Equator, I'm from Africa, I'm from Turkey, I'm from Nigeria. No. The man came from God. Say, Lord, that has been our dwelling place in all generations. Amen. And Paul said that even when this is preached, there's still a veil. Brother, don't you understand? Even now, there's still a veil. The man said, what are you saying? I'm from God. What are you talking about? My name is Jacob. They say, no, your name is Israel. Don't you understand? So, of course, we don't know who we are. We say we are. You are calling yourself what you are not. Amen. So, when you want to cross Jordan, you must realize who you are. We must go back to that origin. Amen. And that origin says there was a lamb slain from the foundation. Why would God slay a lamb from the foundation of the world? Why? Why? And if you are a student of the Bible, you ask yourself, upon which, who was the priest that made that sacrifice? Which priesthood was there? Certainly it was not the one Moses or Aaron. Certainly not Moses or Aaron. There was another one. There was a more eternal priesthood for a more eternal purpose. Hallelujah. And that purpose cannot be anything else but darkness. There was a spirit of darkness. God wanted to trap darkness in you. Hallelujah. God wants to say darkness, because see, God's plan is to destroy darkness. So for this purpose was the Son of Man manifested, that he might do what? Destroy the works of the devil. So darkness came into man and lodged in the mind and has been spreading. Amen. I wish I had time. I would have, the gate that would take me out, so I don't want to go out. The mind is an industry of darkness. All the darkness in the world. The other day I was drawing a timetable for something. I said, God, so I'm creating something. In a few months' time, people will begin to carry out an activity that I sat down and did in my room. Don't you understand? When you plan something, Sister Domo, you plan that this time we shall do so and so. You are creating an event in your room. You write it down. A secular has been. Everybody in MIS must follow it. You created it. Hallelujah. That's how we create darkness. The devil cannot create darkness. He is manipulating the darkness in you and in me. Amen. Darkness is an energy. It grows. It's growing. And God must allow darkness to come to the full. Okay, somebody says, well, the thing is, well, you have to hold God's hand. Because 1,000 years is like one day. So you are looking at it 2014. 2,000 is like a second, maybe. Even less than a second with God. Don't you understand? God has an objective. He must destroy darkness. And the darkness that has entered into you is your own assignment. You must deal with it. God has given me, troublesome me, to help you see the darkness in you. Sister, you know so. When I trouble you, oh, the thing comes up. You get an angel, say, go and sit there, repent. Job was there. When you finish, God said, okay, fine. You, go and apologize to your friends. He said, you, or you pray for your friend. What do you think was going on? God has a purpose. I want you to understand. God has a purpose for you. So when your leg is not good, you are thinking, oh God, heal my leg. God has his own program. Is that through that leg, he shows you the darkness in you so that you deal with the darkness. Amen. Now, if we're able to understand and get it, this is the head of it. That there is darkness. Now, this darkness is not static. It grows. The darkness grows. And God is going to wait for it. How do you know darkness grows? I can tell you. What's their time now? Look now, look at their time. 3:45. That's my time. Is it not so? You look outside and I see it's growing somewhere. Darkness is growing. 6 hours from now, you come and look. What will happen, bro? You can't even see that house. And that's the scripture of the brother. They say, behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. And gross darkness. Who? The people. Darkness grows. And that darkness has a destination called midnight. Amen. And the Bible has what it calls the hour of midnight. Midnight has a ministry given to it by God. Amen. And Jesus told them, this is the hour of darkness. Amen. And when there is the hour of darkness, everybody was very careful. Peter was very, very careful. The disciples was very, very careful. Mary Magdalene, everybody was a walking tiptoe. Because very soon, because it's an hour when the devil had desired to sift some of us. Amen. Like the brother was sharing yesterday. Brethren, that's where we have come to. We are marching into the hour of darkness. It's allowed. It must come to the full. When it comes to the full, God will break it. And to make sure you and I are not confused, he practically caused darkness to come to Egypt. So you see, those 10 plagues in Egypt, it's a time clock. We can't get into it today. At some other time, we'll be able to look at it. We'll see the clock. That it was growing. By the time it got to the 7th plague, it changed. Alright? And by the time it got to the 8th plague, it multiplied. It got to the 9th one, so there was 3 days of darkness. And by the 10th one, it was pitch darkness. The Bible said that at midnight. Amen. God brought us the sun. So brethren, hold your heart. Amen. You need to, so when you are talking about crossing Jordan, you need to have that in mind, that the situation and the circumstance you are looking at will change. That's our world is changing. Alright? Today, the major theme of our world is what? Homosexuality and what's the other one? Well, I have a name for it. That's what you find on the head of Pharaoh. Pharaoh wears a serpent on his mind. sexuality. It's in stamp, you know, you see that serpent. That is seduction. All the dancing style in Nigeria changed within 3 years. The dance style in Nigeria changed within 3 years. Well, sorry, you know me, I monitor those things. We are part of the monitors. The dress style in Port Harcourt changed within 6 months. And there's a new one I saw my wife. I showed her the other day. They call it skirtini. People have bikini. There's a new one called skirtini. Skirt and bikini combined together. It's called it skirtini. It's coming. I'm not surprised because it's Egypt. Hodom. That is what rules the throne of Egypt. Amen. And it is going to the marriage bed. Amen. The frog came from the Nile. Don't you understand? The Nile is the strength of Egypt. While the strength of Zion is the river Euphrates. So there are two rivers. That's why you must quickly cross Jordan and get to Euphrates. So you can be getting life. Amen. Amen. The frogs came from the Nile. Just like Ebola came from a river, Ebola in Congo. Don't you understand? These things are coming from the water. And it's crawling to the house, to the kneading floor, everywhere. It's crawling all over the place. And the husband and the wife must be strong to cast it out here first. So they were weeping for Tammuz in their mind. Tammuz is the god of sexuality. And I said it. The Bible says, let in dressing, there's one law. It's called moderation. What is moderation? Moderation means the Spirit of God gives you discernment. Now, when you dress, a man should not be looking after you. That's moderation. When you dress, you should not look like a woman if you're a man. Brother, is that not moderation? That is moderation. Nobody is going to measure the skirt and they tell you it's 9 inches and all those words. That works for you and God. But the principles are clear. Sexuality is in the mind. You may not even be wearing it physically, but in your mind you are wearing it. Hallelujah. And it is a covering. Sexuality is a covering. Now, let me tell you something. Do you know, he said that the angels do not marry. Is that true? Robert, is that true? The angels do not marry. Why? Who did they need marriage for? He said that in the resurrection, you people say you want to cross Jordan into resurrection. He said in the resurrection, what will happen? You shall be like the angels, because your emotion will be fed by God. Don't you understand? You don't need natural relationship for you to be happy. No, 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 no. We get that energy from the cloud. You need to buy the cloud computer. When you plug to that cloud, you'll be getting all your energy needs. Hallelujah. Your emotion is not going to feed on all this. But this is a higher dimension. And that's why it's called, it says that those who are married should be as though they are not married. Why? Because there is another energy source is given to you. Amen. Amen. Say amen now. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So these are the laws of Jordan, crossing Jordan into the promised land. This man. So when I talk about crossing, it is the soul crossing over. Breaking through the barriers. The soul was meant to feed from the garden of God. You call it holy of holies, whatever name you want to call it. Okay, fine. But it's an experience. And it's the mind. The mind should be feeding on light. Amen. Right now, my mind is sitting on darkness, falling down. So to break the veil means for the mind to rise. And the vehicle that takes the mind up is the word of God. It says, as your thoughts are different from my thoughts, and your ways are different from my ways, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Okay? And so is my word that goeth out, that will not come back void. The word of God that you are hearing is to take your mind from the lowest level and bring it up. Hallelujah. Where he begins to feed on the energy and the glory of God. Now, when the mind, let me tell you, the strength of this body is from my mind. Bible says, a cheerful heart affects the countenance and does takes away rottenness of the bone. Brother, isn't that so? Your mind heals the body. Hallelujah. Leave garlic alone, no. Heal your mind. And your body will become refreshed. They don't eat at midnight, though. Amen. And like Sister Janet said, know the food that is good for you. There are some foods that are not good for your body. Don't eat that one. When you eat it, start sneezing, coughing, leave it alone. Go eat another one. Amen. Hallelujah. The energy of the body is from the mind. The energy of the mind is from the spirit. Don't you understand? That's the way it goes down. So, if you want to cross over, you want to break through, then the mind must come to its real estate in God. Hallelujah. Where it begins to energize the body. And not just energize the body, but everything around. That's what Brother Sam was talking about. Amen. So, they almost identify the veil. So the first veil is the darkness that is within the soul. That's the first veil. That's the first dimension of the veil that we have to break through. The first one. That is the foundation. Now the next level is the effect of this darkness that has come into the soul on the rest of the body. That is the second dimension. And because we are seeing it, because of the darkness, the nature of man is changing. It's changing, becoming more and more dark. Alright? And Paul called it old man. You call it the body of sin. Whatever you call it. He's speaking about this old nature, this man of sin. Alright? It is headbound. That is Jordan itself. He lost the ground. He's headbound. Amen. Paul said, who shall deliver me from this body of death? This. Amen. They say, praise be to God that there is another law. Amen. So we find that there is a law that is within. I can't get into that now. But there is a law that is written in the mind. Let's just open it just for a minute. The Bible says that God will judge the Gentile by which law? By his conscience. Is it not so? Good. But he will judge the Jew by which law? By the law. So, is God partial? It means that the law that he gave the Jews was a reflection of the law of the conscience. Don't you understand? Because God judges everybody on the same level. So the real law is the law that is within the heart. Amen. And God says in the New Testament, I will go and put my law in the inward man. He set aside this. So God is not interested in do's and don'ts, but he's writing a law within us. And if you want to take it further, what it means is that there are writings. There are writings in the hearts of men. God must erase that writing and write a new law. Hallelujah. That's what happened to Moses. God wrote the first one. God said, oh yeah, you, Moses, write the second one. The second one was experience. Amen. So God is writing, there's a new law that must be written. Brother Yago was talking about, you know, he said it was like installing a computer program. Whatever I say now, when you go out that door, you will follow one law. It is a law that's written in the heart. And that's Lebanon. Amen. Every man follows a law that is written in the heart. So God must change that law and put a new law. Amen. Because men read the law and carry out the activity. You know, when they make proteins, alright, there's a DNA, there's a code. They read, the proteins read and they take action. So also man reads the law in the heart and takes action. So God must go there and change it too. So that's part of that barrier that must be broken. Amen. So you're asking, so how does God do it? God does those things by making you fail an exam, for instance. You write an exam, you fail. You should have passed the exam. Amen. You have been serving God. You expect you should get so. If you don't get it, get the other one. Alright? Somebody, you know, you meet challenges in life. And some people don't get over the challenge. So, oh, why should God do this? Why should God do this? Why should God? The point is that you are not looking, you're not behaving like Daniel, who could discern that it's not just King Smith, that there was something inside. Amen. And when we are descending right, we will know that the reason why you couldn't go here, the other person has gone that way, is because he told them that God did not lead you by this way, that he might prove your heart, that he might show you what is in your heart, whether you will obey God or not. So when we come against challenges, I mean, like now where we are, and in the days ahead we are going to run up against a storm, we will see that God is actually trying your heart. And many of us, we waste the circumstances because the things come and go and we are not yet changed. Amen. I wish that, if I say, oh, that there were such an heart in them. That is the lamentation of God. God is saying, oh, that my people will see beyond the ordinary. And when you see the ordinary, you see the purpose for your life. Paul said, I glory in tribulation. Why would he say, I glory in tribulation? Because he knows that tribulation worketh patience, and patience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Because hope brings the glory of God, brings the love of God into the heart. Amen. So when a man is in a condition, he is glorying in it. He is rejoicing in it. You know, he is rejoicing in poverty. He is rejoicing in lack. He is rejoicing in being defrauded. He is rejoicing that somebody is cheating him. Why? He knows that he's walking a weight of glory within him. God is writing upon his heart. He's changing the law. Hallelujah. Amen. It might look as though the devil has won. No, the devil didn't win. God wrote on a man. Hallelujah. The handwriting of God was upon the man. Hallelujah. And when we begin to discern the ways of God, our life will change. Amen. The devil cannot get glory over us. Job was in that situation. Oh my God. He grumbled. But after some time, he said, look, there must be something there. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And that in this flesh, I shall stand. The man overcame. Hallelujah. Without the Holy Ghost, without the blood of Jesus Christ, without the Christ too. Don't you understand? You have all. Can we stand with Job? Brethren, can we start with Job? You have the blood. You have the Christ stone. You have the Holy Ghost stone. All complete. Amen. Brethren, we ought to do better. Amen. Now when we see, say, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. Because it works in you a sure way of glory. Paul said, therefore, I glory in tribulation. Somebody said, no, how can you be glorying in tribulation? Because, you mean you're accepting it? No, I'm not accepting it. I know God sent it as a minister. I will allow it to work out something in me. Amen. It's hard. But God says, every son be chastened. And that chastening is not good. It's not pleasurable. Then afterwards, it works the peaceable work of righteousness. Amen. Now, that brings us to the third one. Now, the third one is dealing with the spirits that are covering the soul. Okay, we are much more familiar with this one. But you see, you cannot deal with this if you don't deal with number one and number two. Number one and number two are the key of it. Amen. For you to deal with the spirit. Now, the spirits are, you are dealing with demons. And then you are dealing with principal. I believe we have quit dealing with demons. Maybe some people are, but I believe that some of us, we are now dealing with fallen angels. And that's why the battle is becoming more intelligent. Amen. Somebody sent me a dream yesterday. I'm going to share with you. This dream, this brother had this dream in 1996. And in this dream, he said he walked into a place and he saw a group of people planning for war. And he said that the type of war they were planning, and when you think about it, it brings sorrow all over your body. And he showed that people could be thinking and planning something like that. This was a dream, 1996. Okay? Now, this brother shared it with me. And he said that when they began to pray about it, they got the impression that I have been getting for the past few weeks. They got an impression, and that impression is what I have been getting for the past few weeks. That's part of what I want to share. The thing called Islam is going to trouble the world. Islam is going to be the pain in the neck of the world. Now, when you look at Revelation 19, now it says that 1/3 of the world will be slain by this spirit, and it is called the sixth trumpet. So that when he opened the sixth trumpet, he saw an army, saw a horseman, saw a group, something, you know, come out. Now, what we are seeing is just they're marching, they're practicing. It hasn't yet come to the full. To give you an example, in Iraq, a city called Mosul. Mosul is the biggest city in northern Iraq. It's an oil city like Port Harcourt. These ISIS people, ISIS is a very radical form of the Sunni Muslims. The Sunni Muslims are the predominant Muslim group in Nigeria. Al-Qaeda is their brother. So in actual fact, we are fighting ISIS. You understand? There are two types of Islam. There's Shiite Muslim. You find it in Iran. Alright? That's why they said they must kill everybody in the world for their 12th mullah to come. So they're planning an atomic bomb. And Israel says immediately they reach a certain point, they will attack them. What do you think that will lead to? Huh? And that can happen anytime. So that one is by the side. Now, these other people, Sunni, they don't agree with the Shiite Muslim. In fact, it is an eternal, it's a fight to the death. You say only it's either you kill us, we'll kill. The two of them don't agree. And these Sunni people are these Boko Haram and ISIS. They are the ones you find in Nigeria. Now, they have drawn a map. And that map starts from Port Harcourt, which is somewhere. They have claimed the whole of Nigeria. Now, we're not really looking at that. We are looking at something. There's a spirit. There's a spirit that has arisen. Okay? And it's working. And it is spirits that have taken over men and now causing them to take activity. So we are now, you're not just fighting darkness in us. We are dealing with darkness in men, and that darkness is increasing. When they kill Osama bin Laden, suppose we are rejoicing in New York. Oh, we have killed Osama. The world will know peace. When they kill Muhammad Yusuf, they say, oh, we have killed Boko Haram. Really? So, brethren, we are dealing with spirits. Spirits have gained control of the emotions of man, and they are manipulating it. Alright? So, you and I, our emotion must also change. That's the point. Our emotion must also come under the control and nourishment of the Spirit of God. Amen. Now, when we get that clear, that we understand what it means to break through the veil as we are crossing over Jordan, that's where we are coming to the point where our emotion is no longer subject to the carnal, natural thing. Our emotion is now subject to spiritual and divine and heavenly principles and life. Praise God. Amen. Now, to end, because we're looking at the principle of breaking through. You know, what do we need to do? What do we need to do to break? And we're saying, to break through, you need to look inward. You need to look inward. When you look inward, what are you looking at? One, darkness in you. Two, the effect of that darkness on your emotion and your desire and your will and all that. Three, the fact that this darkness is there has opened the door for spirits to come in and dwell. And if you are not submitting yourself to that, there are people out there who are submitting themselves. And the Bible said that very soon, the man of sin shall be revealed. That he who now letteth will let until what? Ek misos genetes. That means out of the mist is going to spring forth. So just like you are expecting Christ to spring forth in you, there are people who are praying every day. They are praying night vigil, desire, and say, "Oh devil, come and take me over." Amen. That's the reality of. So when you are praying, that's why I said it's not a question of praying or fasting. You must have an object. What are you praying for? You must identify your enemy. Who are you fighting against? Do you know the nature of the enemy? This enemy, you cannot sit down at a discussion table, say, okay, you discuss with me. They said, if you're a Christian, two options. Either you pack out, or you pay levy, or we put you to the sword and kill you. As me and you are talking now, people are running away from Iraq. It's not fine. If you go up north, it's not so. They are evacuating the people. So if those people are going through, you and I, what do you think? Is God a partial God? Don't you understand? So that's why it says, arise. Tie yourself. Get ready. Go over this Jordan. Amen. Get ready. Because it's only God that is keeping it. I came out here on Friday. I ran back on Monday. On Sunday morning, I took this road. Did you see it? The whole road was locked. It was when I got there, I said, yeah, they're breaking Ramadan. Yeah, they're breaking Ramadan. They closed the door. When you drive out of your house, look at the person at the corner of your junction. Look at the person at the corner of your junction. The shoemaker, he went to Ahmadu Bello University. He has master's degree from Sudan. He's cleaning your shoe. Why will a man who has master's degree be cleaning shoe at your gate? Brethren, arise. Go over this Jordan. Amen. The man has master's degree from Sudan. That is the hotbed, the most radical place is in Sudan. They all go there. Amen. Hallelujah. Say amen. So brethren, we need to rise. And this weekend was to give us an idea of what we are dealing with. And we've looked at it. So when you go home, sit down with it. Listen to the tape. Look at your notes. Consider it. Make the right decisions. Make the right changes in life. For me, the key is in that Joshua 1, 8 and 9. This book of the Lord must not depart out of your mind. Amen. So me, I'm going to work on it. Amen. I have my program. You have to draw your own program. I cannot do everything at the same day, but I'm pacing myself. Okay. Every day I know where I'm going to. Amen. You cannot start from not reading the Bible at all and you're reading it three times a day. It doesn't work like that. You must form the habit. Amen. You must form the habit of chewing on the word of God. It takes time. It takes fighting. It takes dedication. Amen. You fall, rise up again and go at it. Amen. You must sit down and count the cost. You know, there's no way you wake up and say, okay, you're just like dancing around. No. If you are intelligent like me, the mind, give it to the word of God. Study the things of God. Study the origin of the Bible. Study all the people that wrote it. Jerome. you say this, all those who read their lives, let them inspire you. Amen. Forget all these young people running around showing off their body. They are priests of Ashtaroth. Amen. Leave them alone. Give yourself wholly to God. Amen. And you begin to see, your mind will start changing. My mind is changing small. I'm not boasting, but I think it's changing small. Amen. You are profiting. You will see the effect. It will change. Within 1 week, you will see the change in your life. Amen. And you will see that you are already crossing. You begin to be a partaker right now. Amen. Of that first fruit. Amen. So when God says, step out into Jordan. Jordan, you are going to see, is very, very turbulent. God says, go. Says, at your word, I will go. And before long, you will see Jordan will split for you. Amen. And you are going to walk upon dry ground. You will do that which was impossible. Amen. That deceptive thing, you very soon you'll be looking for it. You say, where is it? That anger you couldn't overcome. All those things you are fighting with, you will see them. Because you have taken away the strength of it. The east gate has been opened to God and locked to them. Amen. Hallelujah. So I think I'm going to stop. I think we have prayer points to pray. Amen. There are things for us to pray about now and when we go home. We need to sit down and count the cost. Amen. Isaiah says, come, let us reason together. Go and come and let us reason with the Lord. Let's sit down. Ask God questions. Amen. Say, plead your case. Strengthen your case. Amen. Hallelujah. And then argue and present the matter before God. Praise the Lord. Amen.